Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Grateful, thankful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you today. And we have a great word. And I'm sure that there are those that will say, oh my goodness, it's so boring talking about food and what you can and can't eat and all that stuff. You know, what in the world? Well, I tell you, it's important. It's important to God. And it should be important to us. You know, I was thinking about dietary things that are in the Word. You know, I have a friend that very much practices this Old Testament word on dietary. And, you know, it came sent me to Matthew chapter 15, where the Pharisees were complaining about the disciples not washing their hands before they ate. And I'm going to go there before we get into our Old Testament word for today. And it's just something about it stuck out. And this is what it said. Defilement comes from within. And it says in Matthew chapter 15, then the scribes and Pharisees, which were from Jerusalem, came to Jesus saying, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. And he answered and said to them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother. And he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father and mother, whatever profits you might have received from me is a gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition, hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. And then he said, then he had called the multitude to himself, and he said to them, hear and understand. Now what goes into the mouth defiles a man. But what goes into the mouth defiles a man. But what of the mouth? This defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornications, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. And there are those that would like to say, well, this means that we can eat whatever we want. Not really. But Jesus has given an example that, you know, we say things that are just as much an abomination as the things that we eat. So, you know, we have to be very careful what we put in our mouths. as we're dealing with COVID-19, we know that there are those that have said that COVID came from someone consuming bats and bats being for sale in fresh markets in Wuhan. And, you know, but if we, as we go through our word this morning, you're going to find out. You shouldn't be eating bats anyway because it's unclean. It's unclean. That's what the word of God said. You know, there's some other things that we eat that are considered unclean. So let's find out what God is talking about, you know, and put it into our today. And we're going to find out that some of these things and most of these things, you know, we know that Jesus came and changed some things, but he also said, I did not come to basically get rid of the law, but to fulfill the law of the prophets, the laws of the prophets. So the question is, and I'm asking my theologian buds out there to call in and talk with me, you know, because I'm not perfect. I'm still studying to get where they are. But the fact of the matter is, ask God to give you discernment and understanding of the word, and that's what we're going to do. Father God in heaven, we thank you today for this word on knowing what we should and shouldn't eat, knowing on how we should and shouldn't live. Lord, we ask you to guide us through this word, to give us understanding, to give us discernment, to give us knowledge and understanding so that we will be able to teach it, to preach it, to know it, to live by it. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease. And Father, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. Lord God, I thank you for waking me up this morning. And I ask you to continue watching over bereaved families that are suffering from so many things and losing loved ones. In Jesus' name I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing that you are my Father God, and you are the author and the finisher of my life. Amen. In Jesus' name I say amen. For we are children of God first and foremost, and it is God that is in charge of our life, not us. We think we got it going on, but we don't even know the phone number. Come on. We need to stop taking it to the phone and taking it to the throne. But let's get into our word, because I'm saying, you know, as you start to read this word, it makes sense. It really does make a lot of sense of what to eat and what not to eat. And, you know, there's some things on here that you're like, oh, what? You know, and I'm just going to call it, you know, for my folks out there, I call them that likes them bugs called crawdads and all of that stuff. That stuff is nasty. I'm just calling it. I went to clam bake, where they doing the crawdads and the clams and the potatoes and the onions and, you know, in Texas. And I'm sorry, when you have to take the water and pour it out 5 or 6 times, cause that barrel of bugs is so nasty, you know. And folks, I'm sorry, it looked like you was eating a bunch of bugs, you know. But I understand. Don't hate a sister. But that stuff is gross, you know. When you gotta pour water out 5, 6 times, cause all the dirt is coming out of the food that you're about to eat. It's like, ew. That's like eating bloody meat. Can't do that either. So let's get started as my judging spirit comes out so that I can put it right back where it came from. Because, you know, God is the only one that can send us to hell or send us to heaven or allow us, excuse me, in heaven. So we got to get out of the judging spirit. Because I don't like it doesn't mean that you shouldn't. So let's read what the word of God says to the children of Israel. And we're putting it in context to the 3,000, 4,000 years ago that this thing happened. And so it says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel. And I'm sorry, I am coming out of Leviticus chapter 11 through chapter 12, verse. And Leviticus chapter 12. Making sure I get it right here. Chapter 13. So I'm coming out of Leviticus 11 to 13 today. And it says this again. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying to them, speak to the children of Israel, saying, these are the animals which you may eat among all the animals that are on the earth. Among the animals, whatever divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs and chewing the curd, that you may eat. Nevertheless, these you shall not eat among those that chew the curd or those that have cloven hoofs. The camel, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. The rock oryx, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. The hare, because it chews the curd but does not have cloven hoofs, is unclean to you. And the swine, though it divides the hoof, having cloven hoofs, yet does not chew the curd, is unclean to you. Their flesh you shall not eat, and their carcasses you shall not touch. They are unclean to you. And I know there are folks that do not eat pork. I am one of them. Eat rabbit either. And definitely would not want anybody's camel. You know, the fact of the matter is that there's just some things that you just can't eat. And I'm just going to be a firm, tell it like it is. I love bacon. I've said it on this show many, many times. I do. I love bacon. I can eat bacon, a bacon and egg sandwich, bacon, lettuce, and tomato, bacon on the burger, bacon, you know, I just like bacon. That was my favorite pork, bacon. You know, I could do a ham sandwich here or there, you know, a ham and cheese, you know, with lettuce and tomato with a little bit of mayo, and, you know, I was good to go. Actually, mine was salad dressing. You know, I love my Miracle Whip. But the fact of the matter is, that when I gave it up for a reason and a purpose. I gave it up for a Lenten season several years ago, and I haven't eaten again. You know, I don't know all the time if it's in a food that I may get, but if I know, I don't get that. I don't buy that food, and I'll ask, does it have pork in it, before I order now, because, you know, I love green beans, but many restaurants and places of business put pork in their vegetables. So I ask, you know, and that's all you can do is ask, and if it has pork in it, then don't buy it. Make it at home. Like my greens and my cabbage, I make it home because I use turkey. But the fact of the matter is that I gave up pork. And you know how God will give you what you desire? And I was on a fast where I'd given up all meat. Not just pork, but all meat, sweets, and had given up, what else, bread. And I'm going to tell you, it really is awesome if you're trying to lose weight and go into your prayer closet. You can do both. You lose weight and spend some quality time with God. But as I was going through, I was looking for alternatives to meat. And just happened to come across, and I think I've spoken on this before, a veggie bacon. And I can tell you, my veggie bacon tastes better than any pork I have ever eaten. It is so delicious. So for my brothers and sisters out there who are trying to go vegan or vegetarian alternatives to meat, I believe it's called Morning Glory. It's a great substitute, meat substitute. They have anything you're looking for. If you want to make spaghetti, you can make a vegan spaghetti. If you want to make bacon, They got a nice vegan bacon. They got bean burgers and black bean burgers and all kind of, you know, veggie burgers. You name it, they probably have it as a substitute. I even saw beef substitute and, you know, and a chicken, even a chicken substitute. That is so weird. But anyway, the bottom line is that for these things that you cannot eat, there's, that you like, there's alternatives. You know, there's the, I call it the faux meat, you know, that fake meat, but it's made out of vegetables and made of things of the earth. So we need to just be careful what we put in our mouths and what comes out of our mouths as well. Let's keep going. In verse number 9 of chapter 11, it says, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Now, this is dealing with my brothers and sisters, including myself, that like some things that are in the water that we shouldn't be eating by the word of God. But we also understand that once we pray over it, whatever you eat, it becomes holy. But this is the word that says, these you may eat of all that are in the water. Whatever in the water has fins and scales, whether in the seas or in the rivers, that you may eat. But all in the seas or in the river that do not have fins and scales, all that move in the water or are any living thing which is in the water, they are an abomination. They shall be an abomination to you. You shall not eat their flesh, but you shall regard their carcasses as an abomination. Whatever in the water does not have fins or scales, that shall be an abomination to you. Oh, man, there goes my shrimp. There goes the lobster. There goes the clams. There goes the crawdads, katydids, and all that other stuff that we eat. And I'm sorry, I call it the bug food. We got to be very careful. No lobster for you. No clams. No under the, oh, man. No fins. No food. You know, that's what the word says. Not Minister Bridget, but that's what the word of God says. But again, we know when Jesus came, we pray over whatever it is that we eat, and it does not, it's not unclean. Because of prayer, because of Jesus taking our sins upon his back to the cross. But in this day and time, it makes sense. And as we continue, it says, and these you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, it eats other flesh. Yeah. The vulture, the buzzard, the kite, the falcon, after its kind, airy raven, after its kind, the ostrich, the short-haired owl, the seagull, the hawk, after its kind, the little owl, the fisher owl, and the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the creon, vulture, the stork, the heron, after its kind, the hopi, and the bat. The little snot that it is. And I know there's something now. You know. No, I don't. I'm just saying what I heard. That nasty little bat is what caused it. But we know bats are nasty. And it goes on to tell us, all flying insects that creep on all four shall be an abomination to you. Yet these you may eat of every flying insect that creeps on all four. These which have joint legs above their feet, with which to leap on the earth, these you may eat. So we can have locusts after its kind, the destroying locust after its kind, the cricket after its kind, and the grasshopper after its kind. Because those things are full of protein. But all other flying insects which have four legs shall be an abomination to you. In other words, you can't be eating roaches, y'all. Ew. You can't be eating ants and, you know, chocolate-covered ants because it's a delicacy. No, you can't eat that. No, you can't have every bug. You can have locusts. That's what it said. John the Baptist ate locusts and honey. That was his diet. But you can't eat every kind of bug. Come on now. if by these you shall become unclean. Whoever touches the carcass of any of them shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries part of the carcass of any of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. The carcass of any animal which divides the foot but is not cloven hoofed or does not chew the curd is unclean to you. Everyone who touches it shall be unclean. And whatever goes on its paws among all kinds of animals that go on all fours, those you are unclean to you. Whoever touches any of such carcass shall be unclean until evening. Whoever carries any such carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. It is unclean to you. Also shall be unclean to you. Among the creeping things that creep on the earth, the mole, the mouse, the large lizard after its kind, the gecko, the monitor lizard, the sand reptile, the sand lizard, the chameleon, these are unclean to you among all that creep. Whoever touches them when they are dead shall be unclean until evening. Anything on which any of them falls when they are dead shall be unclean, whether it is any item of wood or clothing or skin or sack, whatever item it is in which any work is done, it must be put in water, and it shall be unclean until evening. Then it shall be clean. Any eaten earthen vessel into which any of them fall, you shall break, and whatever is in it shall be unclean. In such a vessel, any edible food upon which water falls becomes unclean, and any drink that may be drunk from it becomes unclean, and everything on which a part of any such carcass falls shall be unclean, whether it is an oven or cooking stove, it shall be broken down, for they are unclean and shall be unclean to you. Nevertheless, plenty of water shall be clean, but whatever touches any such carcass becomes unclean. And if a part of any such carcass falls on any planting seed which is to be sown, it remains clean. But if water is put on the seed, and if a part of any such carcass falls on it, it becomes unclean to you. And if any animal which you may eat dies, he who touches it carcass shall be unclean until evening. He who eats of his carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. He also who carries his carcass shall wash his clothes and be unclean until evening. And every creeping thing that creeps on the earth shall be an abomination. It shall not be eaten. Whatever crawls on its belly, snakes. If whatever goes on all fours, or whatever has many feet among all creeping things that creep on the earth, these you shall not eat, for they are an abomination. You shall not make yourselves abominable with any creeping thing that creeps, nor shall you make yourselves unclean with them, lest you be defiled by them. For I am the Lord your God. You shall therefore consecrate yourselves, and you shall be holy, for I am holy. That's our word for today. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Neither shall you defile yourselves with any creeping thing that creeps on the earth, for I am the Lord who brings you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. You shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We need to be holy, for our Father God is holy. This is the law of the animals and the birds and every living creature that moves in the water and of every creature that creeps on the earth to distinguish between the unclean and clean and between the animal that may be eaten and the animal that may not be eaten. You know, and I just got to say this. I love spinach and artichokes. I love them in, you know, I like spinach artichoke quiche, and I like spinach and artichoke dip. And I went to get to a health food store to get some spinach and artichoke dip. And they had a big old sign on it that said, also includes pork belly. Why do you need pork belly? Got all over the label. Contains pork belly. Yuck. It's chitterlings in the spinach and artichoke dip. you got chitlins in your spinach and artichoke dip. That was just grossing me out. I'm like, really? One of my favorite things, and you got pork belly in it. And then you turn it over, but the label doesn't say it. The label says all the vegetables and everything that's in it. But then on the front of the content, it said also contains pork belly. So needless to say, I didn't get it there. Amazed me that we don't know what we're eating half the time. And that's why we have to pray over it. Give it to God. Because what goes in comes out. But we have to be careful what comes out of our mouths, not what goes in as much as what goes out. So just use discernment when you decide to go and eat out. And as we continue in our word, we're in chapter 12 of Leviticus, and we're talking just common practices of cleanliness. And this is what it says. And now we're going to talk about childbirth. And I actually love this word. Chapter 12, I love this word. And I'll tell you why after we read it. It says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, to the children of Israel, saying, if a woman has conceived and born a male child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, as in the days of her customary impurity. She shall be unclean, and on the eighth day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. She shall then continue in the blood of her purification 33 days. She shall not touch any hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. But if she bears a female child, then she shall be unclean 2 weeks, as in her customary impurity, and she shall continue in the blood of her purification 66 days. When the days of her purification are fulfilled, whether for a son or a daughter, she shall bring to the priest a lamb of the first year as a burnt offering, and a young pigeon or a turtle dove as a sin offering to the door of the tabernacle of meeting. Then he shall offer it before the Lord and make atonement for her, and she shall be clean from the flow of her blood. This is the law for her who has borne a male or a female. And if she is not able to bring a lamb, then she may bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, one as a burnt offering and the other as a sin offering. So the priest shall make atonement for her, and she will be clean. And in this word, what it's saying is, you know, God gives us maternity leave. You know, you get maternity leave for having a baby, even though this is just a month. But for a little girl, you get 2 months of maternity leave, which is right about 4 to 6 weeks, you know, or 8 weeks, somewhere in there. But, you know, for a boy, you get 4 weeks. For a girl, you get 8 weeks. And honestly, 8 weeks is when everything should be kind of not flowing like it was. You know, God gives us opportunity, because you got to remember, you know, 40 days, and this is what it says here, for, well, 40 days. You get 40 days for a boy and 80 days for a girl. It's rounding everything up. So 40 days for a boy, 80 days for a girl, which is pretty awesome. You know, and that's just about 8 to 10 weeks you get for your children to give you a rest. Your body needs rest. Your mind needs rest. Your spirit needs rest. And you need time to bond with your child. And God put it in the word for us to have time to heal and to bond. And this is what Dr. Stanley says for Leviticus chapter 12. It says, interesting commands. All of God's commands are for our good and well-being. Of course, it is easier to understand some of them more than others. We agree that we should not murder anyone, Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, or steal, Exodus chapter 20, verse 15. However, we must wonder how the commands of Leviticus 12 are still essential for our life. Certainly, Leviticus 12 is not very politically correct, especially declaring women who have just given birth as unclean. To be unclean meant that a person was morally or ceremonially defiled because they had come in contact with blood. A disease such as leprosy, food specifically forbidden by God, or a dead person or animal as a result of unclean person. 12:4 says, touch any hollow thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purification are fulfilled. For the new mother, the purification time was to last 40 days for a boy and 80 days for a girl. One may wonder why God would order such a law. After all, weren't children supposed to be a blessing? We read in Psalms 127:3, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Yet to understand the significance of God's command, we must realize that the majority of ancient culture required women to return to their daily chores immediately after childbirth. Those societies took no notice of the needs of the mother or of the child, to their great detriment, because women died from childbirth. They died after childbirth. You know, getting up and doing too much before your healing starts can be detrimental. And this is what it says. However, the Hebrew culture was different because of the commands found in Leviticus 12, verses 1 through 8. Jewish women were able to recuperate during their time of purification, regaining their strength and bonding with the baby. Instead of an unimportant afterthought, the babies would not only have the undivided attention of their mother, but the whole household would pull together to care for them because the mother could not do any cooking or cleaning. So as you can see, the time of purification, God's command was actually a blessing. As with all of God's word, we must look deeply into it, to the underlying spiritual principle, in order to understand God's profound wisdom in it. That is why Psalms 111:10 declares, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. God's word is always good and trustworthy. Therefore, don't pick and choose what commands you want to follow. Instead, understand the wisdom of the whole counsel of God. There is wisdom in everything that we read today. What we should eat as far as meat, I guess, you know, you can have a locust, but don't eat a roach. You know, I'm just saying, yeah. But, you know, be careful what you eat. You know, you can have fish, any kind of fish. Just be careful of eating that lobster and that crab and the things that are not, don't have scales or fins. You know, the word of God is pretty awesome. And it tells you what you can and cannot have. You know, be careful of throwing that pork chop on your plate with the fried potatoes and biscuits. I'm just having a flashback, y'all. Forgive me. Because that was my Sunday meal when I was growing up. A pork chop with some fried potatoes and onions. Biscuits with, either have a biscuit, you have biscuits and gravy, or you could have biscuits with syrup and butter. And oh, my goodness, my mouth is starting to water. Y'all forgive me if I'm making you hungry. But, you know, like I said, nothing so good as a fried pork chop. That was my, you know, baked is good, but fried is better. I think that's the southerner in me, that I just love that. I mean, I'm just telling you. Thank you to Lil and Henry, always, my dad, which was my godfather, always made food, breakfast on Sunday. And that was his standard fried pork chop with fried potatoes and onions and biscuits. And then, of course, you had your eggs and your grits. And you also had, you know, some fruit, you know, because you always had fruit for everything, it seemed like. You know, but I'm getting hungry. So let me stop myself because I got to fast. So let's keep it moving. And it says in chapter 13 of Leviticus, and the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, when a man has on the skin of his body a swelling, a scab or a bright skin of his body, like a leper's sore, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest, or to one of his sons the priest. The priest shall examine the sore on the skin of the body, and if the hair on the sore has turned white, and the sore appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a leprous sore. So if they was turning white, they was becoming leprous. That sore was turning white, it was not leprous. Then the priest shall examine him and pronounce him unclean. But if the bright spot is white on the skin of his body and does not appear to be deeper than the skin, and the hair has not turned white, then the priest shall isolate the one who has a sore 7 days. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore appears to be as it was, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall isolate him another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine him again on the seventh day. And indeed, if the sore is faded, and the sore is not spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean, only a scab, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scab should at all spread over the skin after he has been seen by the priest for his cleansing, he shall be seen by the priest again. And if the priest sees that the scab has indeed spread on the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprosy. When the leprous sore is on a person, then he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the swelling on the skin is white, and it has turned the hair white, and there is a spot of raw flesh in the swelling, it is an old leprosy on the skin of his body. The priest shall pronounce him unclean and shall isolate him, for he is unclean. And if leprosy breaks out all over the skin, and the leprosy covers all the skin of the one who has the sore from his head to his feet, wherever the priest looks, then the priest shall consider indeed if the leprosy has covered all his body, he shall pronounce him clean who has the sore. It has all turned white. He is clean. And, you know, that almost sounds like the disease that Michael Jackson and I believe his father have. Vitiligo, I believe it's what it's called. I might not be pronouncing it correctly. But it, you have splotches of white on your skin. And I'm speaking of African Americans. There's like a splotch, and you might have, it might be white. And the eyelashes, especially if it's around your eyes, it might be a white spot. So you almost look like a puppy with a black spot, but it's a white spot. And your eyelashes are even white. And I didn't realize, you know, that that could be a form of leprosy. But then as the splotches go, it's all over. And then, but it's smooth. It's not a sore. It's just that your skin is turning. I had a classmate who went from being having splotches. She was brown skinned, and now she looks, if you see her, you would think of her as a woman of Caucasian descent. She looks Caucasian all over. Even her hair turned white, her skin turned white, her eyes, her hair turned white. And she looks like a white woman. And it's like, wow. But this is a form of leprosy. But note, he said that, and the priest shall examine the raw flesh and pronounce them to be unclean, for the raw flesh is unclean. It is leprosy. Or if the raw flesh changes and turns white again, he shall come to the priest. The priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the sore is turned white, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. Who has the sore, he is clean. If the body develops a boil in the skin and it is healed, and in the place of the boil there comes a white swelling or red spot, reddish white, then it shall be shown to the priest. And if and when the priest sees it, indeed it appears deeper than the skin, and his hair has turned white, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprous sore, which has broken out of the boil. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in it, and it is not deeper than the skin, but it's faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days. And if it should all at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread, it is the scar of the boil, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. Or if the body receives a burn on its skin by fire, and the raw flesh of the burn becomes a bright spot, reddish white or white, then the priest shall examine it. Indeed, if the hair of the bright spot turns white and it appears deeper than the skin, it is leprosy, broken out in the burn. Therefore, the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the priest examines it, and indeed there are no white hairs in the bright spot, and it is not deeper than the skin, but has faded, then the priest shall isolate him 7 days, and the priest shall examine him on the seventh day. If it has at all spread over the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a leprous sore. But if the bright spot stays in one place and has not spread on the skin but has faded, it is a swelling from the burn. The priest shall pronounce him clean, for it is a scar from the burn. If a man or woman has a sore on the head or the beard, and the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if it appears deeper than the skin, and there is in it thin yellow hair, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is a scaly leprosy of the head or beard. But if the priest examines the scaly sore, and indeed it does not appear deeper than the skin, and there is no black hair in it, then the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale 7 days. And on the seventh day, the priest shall examine the sore, and indeed, if the scale has not spread, and there is no yellow hair in it, and the scale does not appear deeper than the skin, he shall shave himself. Scale he shall not shave. And the priest shall isolate the one who has the scale another 7 days. On the seventh day, the priest shall examine the scale. And indeed, if the scale has not spread over the skin and does not appear deeper than the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. He shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the scale should at all spread over the skin after his cleansing, then the priest shall examine him. And indeed, if the scale has spread over the skin, the priest need not seek for yellow hair. He is unclean. But if the scale appears to be at a standstill, and there is black hair grown up in it, the scale is healed. He is clean, and the priest shall pronounce him clean. If a man or a woman has bright spots on the skin of the body, specifically white bright spots, then the priest shall look, and indeed, if the bright spot on the skin of the body are dull white, it is a white spot that grows on the skin. He is clean. As for the man whose hair has fallen from his head, he is bald, but he is clean. He whose hair has fallen from his forehead, he is bald on the forehead, but he is clean. And if there is on the bald head or bald forehead a reddish white, it is leprosy breaking out on his bald head or on his bald forehead, then the priest shall examine it. And indeed, if the swelling of the sore is reddish white on his bald head or on his forehead, as the appearance of leprosy on the skin of the body, he is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, "Unclean, unclean." He shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Also, if a garment has a leprous plague in it, whether it is a woolen garment or a linen garment, whether it is in the warp or woof of the linen or wool, whatever is leather or anything made of leather. And if the plague is greenish or reddish in the garment or in the leather, whether in the wrap or in the wool or in anything made of the leather, it is a leprous plague, and this shall be shown to the priest. The priest shall examine the plague and isolate that which has the plague 7 days, and he shall examine the plague on the seventh day. If the plague is in the wrap or in the wool, in the leather, or in anything made of leather, the plague is an act of leprosy. It is unclean. He shall therefore burn that garment in which is the plague, whether wrap or wool or wool or in linen or anything of leather, for it is an act of leprosy. The garment shall be burned in the fire. But if the priest examines it, and indeed the plague is not spread on the garment, either in the warp or in the wool or in anything made of leather, then the priest shall command that they wash the thing in which is the plague, and he shall isolate it another 7 days. Then the priest shall examine the plague after it has been washed, and indeed, if the plague has not changed its color, though the plague has not spread, it is unclean, and you shall burn it in the fire. It continues eating away, whether the damage is outside or inside. If the priest examines it, and indeed the plague has faded after washing it, then he shall tear it out of the garment, whether out of the wrap or of the wool or out of the leather. But if it appears again in the garment, either in the warp or in the wool or in anything made of leather, it is spreading plague. You shall burn with fire that which is the plague. And if you wash the garment, either wrap or wool or whatever is made of leather, if the plague has disappeared from it, then it shall be washed a second time and shall be cleaned. This is the law of the leprous plague in a garment of wool or linen, either in a wrap or a wool or in anything made of leather, to pronounce it clean or to pronounce it unclean. What a word. That was a good word, y'all. And that is our word for today. We are done, because we did our New Testament word on Friday. So I thank you all so much for joining me this morning. We will be in Leviticus chapter 14 tomorrow, God willing, as well as Mark chapter 3, verses 20 through 35. And I believe we actually have read all of Mark chapter 3 on Friday. So we will be in Leviticus. It will be a short lesson tomorrow. We will have Leviticus, Psalms, and Proverbs. So thank you so very much for joining me this morning as we study this awesome word about just cleanliness and diet and, you know, and how important everything is. Even though we may think of it as not important, it is important to God. So careful what you eat. And it's not because of even the dietary laws, but because of your health. You know, we know that some food increases your blood pressure or may make your diabetes worse if you're a diabetic. You know, that it just may not be healthy for the body. Because I believe that when God tells us something, that it's for a purpose and a reason, you know, and it's for our health. It's to help us to live longer and to live a better quality life. So there's just some things we don't eat, some things you don't drink. And, you know, just follow the law of God. And I'm kind of grateful for that, you know, 80 days. Come on, y'all. 80 days of rest from childbirth. That's when you say, you know, the Lord understands a woman's heart and knows that we need time for rest. You know, 6 weeks to 8 weeks to 10 weeks is pretty nice. God is good all the time, y'all. And it's always before we get out, we have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word from this morning is this: the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18 and 10. Have a blessed day, family. And I have another word from yesterday. And the word for yesterday is this: good morning. I pray that whatever is overwhelming you right now be removed. I speak the peace of God to comfort your heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a serene Saturday. You know, we have to always make sure that we have a word. You know, God will give our sister a word. And I just have Friday's word because she hadn't sent it to us before we ended. And this is the word. There is nothing that you will ever go through whereas God is not with you. And that is a wonderful word today. Even if you're going through leprosy, know that God is with you. Even if you're going through childbirth, know that God is with you. Whatever you may be going through, God will see you through because he is always with you. So thanking God for this wonderful word this morning. Thanking God for each and every one of you. And all I can say is have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Keeping God first in everything that you do. And watch him work in your life, in the life of your family. Because God is good. And not is he only good, but he is good all the time. Have a blessed day, family. Is there anyone that would like to speak? We have a few more minutes left. And again, the word for today, you shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. We are so blessed. I just say it again, we are blessed beyond measure to be holy because our Father is holy. And we are his seed. And we are blessed beyond measure. So just a recap, conscious of what you eat. Be conscious of what you speak. And know that wherever you are, God is with you, watching over you, leading and guiding you, and helping you pull through. Just keep calling on the name of Jesus and watch God work in your life. So as we get ready to wrap it up, I say and pray over you. May the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. I love you all. I thank God for you. And just ask God to continue watching over each and every one of you. For those that listen live or listen later, just know that you are holy because your Father is holy. And we are blessed beyond measure because he has claimed us and called us his friends, his sons, and his daughters. So know that you are special to God and let God always be special to you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. It's time to get ready for church. So let's go. Remember, as I say every Sunday, make sure you go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. If you are watching it on the internet, make sure it is a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching ministry that you are watching or listening to. Bible believing, Bible teaching, you know, that prosperity nonsense, you know, all the wolves that have been in sheep's clothing, God is bringing them into light. Every last one of them coming, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, they falling because God is tired of folks being given bad information. So make sure that who you listen to is coming out of this basic instruction before leaving earth. This is stand on this word of God, which we call the Bible. Thank you so much and be blessed. It's a wrap.